All right, glory to God. Amen. Good to see everyone. Good to be back in West Virginia again. And I want to thank Brother Billy and Sister Leah for opening up their home for this home meeting here tonight. And we just trust that we will all be richly blessed. I've already been blessed already, and I'm sure you have. So we just thank God for you. Amen. We are going to be reading in the Word of God tonight in the book of Hosea to begin with. We're going to read several places probably. And we're going to start with in chapter 6, Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to be speaking on the, we'll entitle this, Re-engage After 2 Days in the Third Day We Are Married to Become the Fullness of Christ. So, we're going to look at this 2 days the engagement period lasted. Now, in the New Testament here, and I'm not going to add this to the title because we won't have time. In the Old Testament, it talked about 3 days till the restoration that deals with Israel and the church and what God would do. But in our time period, it talks about 3 phases. Amen. In the third phase of it, everything will be completed and we'll reach the fullness of Christ. See? Amen. And as we look at this from this standpoint, you'll get it clearer as we go along. We're looking at something here in the Word of God that we come to a time in the church here as the world comes to a time. See, everything is moving right on time with Israel and with the church. We see things happening there in the natural, and it's happening in the church in the spiritual. In other words, the fullness of all things are coming upon the world. And I could quote, that is to be will now be, which is the title of the book that we are working on, and we're well down the road on it. And we see everything is coming into being. And I want to talk just a bit here before I read, if you would it'd be all right with you, and speak about some of the condition that's taking place in our day and in our time. But first, let's just bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, Lord, that you'll just move tonight and give us, Lord, that you've ordained for us to have this night. Lord, I just want you to know, Lord, as you do, that we are gathered here in your name, and we all appreciate you and love you, and we're expecting God for you to move, and we believe you will. We believe that you're feeding your people, and especially your wife in this end time, letting us know where we're at, that day, Paul said, will not come upon us unaware. Now bless us tonight and anoint us, we pray, as we read your word. And we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of the things that's taking place in our day is very relevant to the time we're living in. Amen. We've, the 13th of this month, March, I believe when they elected a new pope, that's when the white smoke went up the chimney. In the evening, which is probably some type of pagan custom. But the point is, they've got a man in there now that is a people person and willing to change things. And he, they made mention today, I saw on TV, they was talking about him, that it was quite, had the Catholic Church become so rich with so many people so poor. And he says he wants to change some of that, see. Amen. So it's bringing it down into the realm of the people, letting it be inclusive to the people, want the people to be included, the common people. And, of course, that's the common people heard Christ, heard the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the common people heard him, see. And he didn't, before he became Pope, he didn't ride in the limousine. And he sold a big palace that they had for the cardinal, whatever his title was, to live in. And he either rode the bus to his office there where he went, or else he rode a bus. And he cooked his own meals and like a poor man. Then when he was elected Pope, instead of wearing the red shoes like they do, you know, fancy thing, he wore the common shoes. I saw it on TV today where he's walking through there with those shoes on. And he's got a little wooden cross instead of some kind of diamond stud cross. And he's wants to change many things and put it more back in the hands of the people, make it inclusive to the people. Well, that fits the day and hour we're living in with what Christ is doing in his church. See, the important thing here I want you to know is, see, we have been under leaders and under rulers for 2,000 years, see. Almost. Paul, he told us about these that rule over you and so on, obey them that rule over you and so on. But we get to the place, he said, this is the way it'll be until we reach the statue of the fullness of Christ, see. Amen. In other words, that would be people that would have the pastor, they would look to the pastor for the pastor to call the shots and tell them what to do. And the Bible says the people loved it so, because they didn't have to think for themselves, didn't have to get revelation for themselves, and they just let the preacher tell them what to do and what not to do. And the preacher's like that too. But in this end time, Paul says it's going to come to a place where we'll reach the fullness of Christ. We'll be the body of Christ. And every member will supply each other. It won't be just someone. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the church, see. Amen. And he's the one that directs it. But we come to a place where we begin to reach the fullness of him in the earth, that when you see the church, you'll see Christ in the church, say. Christ in the earth, say. Amen. Amen. And we see this Pope. We just finished a book. It's on the website now. It's called Christ and the Antichrist. Can you tell the difference? Well, in the worldly realm, they accept some kind of religious system and so forth. But it always, the Antichrist always try to pattern after what Christ is doing. See, now I want you to think here, what's the new Pope, what's his outlook for the church? See, it's not like him sitting up there in a big palace and not recognizing the other people. He said the Catholic Church should look after the poor more and this, that, and that. Be more a people-oriented church, see? In other words, let the people be part of it and involved in it rather than just the Pope and the Cardinals and all call out rules and regulation for them to go by, see? Well, we see that Christ, when he has come, as he has come back in this earth, then he made it all inclusive. Even we've been ministering along this line 2 or 3 years, about maybe even longer than that. About we passed a place where that we're not ruled over anymore. Amen. We're the body of people, and we all get revelation. We all got the mind of Christ. We all participate in it, and we all each joint supplies the other. The Bible says we're baptized into the body of Christ, see? Well, the body of Christ has to come down and be here for us to be baptized into. So there has to be a certain time that we come in this end time where this will begin to take place. Now, here, what we're going to read, that was after 2 days, see? Then, in the third day, it says He will restore, see? And so there's three phases of the coming of Christ. And it's the third phase when everything comes into being. Now, oftentimes I ask the question, and it's a question concerning our getting a glorified body and the resurrection and things of that nature. Well, the main thing we can do in answering that question, there's one thing that's far above everything else that's paramount in understanding this. Paul said it'll happen when the last trumpet's sounding. See, at the last trumpet. Now, we backed that up a little bit. We got the coming of the Lord. I'm talking about spiritual coming. I'm not talking about Jesus. Now, we're not the body of Jesus, I've said before. So, we are not. Jesus has His own body. How many knows it? And He will come back in His own body, and He's going to sit on the throne. But His wife, see, is going to be a many-membered body, and that's the Christ in the earth, see. Paul said, ye are the body of Christ. So, when we begin to look at it like that, we see that Jesus, He sends His Spirit back. It's in two parts, like the two legs of His coming. You get last week's message. You'll find out how that the Lord came and He put one foot on land or one foot on sea and the other foot on earth. Two legs of His coming. And there's two parts of becoming the body of Christ. Amen. There's the engagement. Paul engaged us to Christ, and that was by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's accepting the Lord, and they joined churches, and they had rulers over them, so on. But when one become married, see, all their responsibility is involved. It's to the husband and wife responsible each other. Amen. Now, not only are we responsible, Christ responsible for us, we're responsible to Him, see? And in turn, He's responsible to us. We keep His word. We walk with Him. We love Him. We serve Him. Not because we have to, but because that's what's in our heart to do, see? Amen. So as we look at the coming of the Lord, it happens in three phases. Amen. The Lord Himself, and we'll get that. And I'm not talking about the coming of Jesus back to earth. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord in the Spirit to get a people ready to meet Him in the air, see? How many understand? Amen. Well, when He comes back, as He has come back and we're baptized in His body, that puts us all in one body. And in there's no big I's and little U's, see? Amen. In there, either one in the Bible, or the body, if you call from the smallest to the greatest. Amen. Each one has the opportunity and does receive revelation. And we must get to the place where we praise the Lord and acknowledge what the Lord gives and share with each other. I remember reading in the book of Acts when Paul was anticipating going to Jerusalem. There was different ones that Paul, if he knew what would happen, he didn't write about it. But some would say, Paul, when you go to Jerusalem, this will happen or that will happen. And one took Paul's coat and tied himself with it or whatever. It called girdle there, but it was a coat of a type. And outer coat. And says, the man that wears this when he goes to Jerusalem will be bound of the Jews, you know. And then Philip had, four virgin daughters, or was it Stephen? Philip, and they prophesied. and they shared, and that was just in the time of engagement. Then that was lost and fell away, see. But he said after 2 days he's going to restore back. He's going to restore back Israel. During that time, Israel was almost obliterated off the face of the earth, see. They were not a nation. When Titus marched in and destroyed the city in 70 A.D., Israel was no longer a nation. And they weren't a nation till, 47, when they were made a nation again. I believe it was 1948. All right. And we see that we're in the end time. God began to bring back. But at the same time, God had a messenger on the scene that uttered forth a shout. Amen. And that shout was to bring part of the restoration. And there's another message, the voice of the archangel, which was the message of Brother Jackson that he went for. And after two phases of the message, then we're married to Christ. We reach the fullness of Christ. Amen. And then we're all part of one another. And all together we are the body of Christ. And we're not a church system. And we don't have to join, and we don't have to ask the preacher every time what to do and what not to do, because the body has the mind of Christ. You see? Amen. Now, out here in this realm that we just talked about the new pope, I watched a little thing on TV today. The different ones was praising him. Episcopal priest they had on there, he was saying, calling him the Holy Father. He said, this is the greatest thing. Said, I'm sure, at least he said, I'm very hopeful that the Holy Father will let the priest do like our priests do, be married and have a family and so on, and, you know, give them freedom and so on like that. So he said he's already started making changes. He's going to make many changes. Well, there is to be a man of sin that makes things work. And Daniel said he would come in with flattery. Amen. It's going to be hard to book somebody that's wanting to help the poor, wanting to do this and wanting to all this. Now, I'm not saying this is him, but if it's not, he's got the door. He's opening the door wide open till him when he does come. But it's looking more and more as I hear more about it that he's fitting to the letter what is to be in this end time. Amen. Because he's wanting that system to be similar to what Christ wants for his church in this hour, in the sense that we're not ruled from headquarters. Amen. Unless we would call our headquarters heaven, see. Amen. We are not ruled by preachers and pastors and so on. We have pastors and we have ministers, but they're just part of you, see. Now watch, the Pope wants to be just part of the people. He, instead of eating there, they sit at a meal where he usually sits on his throne or whatever there. No, he went and sat with the cardinals and ate with them. He's breaking that old tradition. Amen. And he's so loved by the people already of the world that they just want to come fall at his feet, see? Because he wants to make everybody somebody, rather than him being up here and up so high above everybody and so rich and have all these things that the average man, it's just unthinkable to even talk to him or anything of that nature. Well, now let's bring that over into the spiritual realm of what Christ is doing in this hour. And this was way before, so this ain't some copying after or going after what the Catholic Church may be trying to do at this time, because we've been preaching this for quite a few times, that we got these until, how many remember the word, how we've been bringing in, until we reach the stature of the fullness of Christ, and then it says, we are not going to be tossed to and fro. We know where we stand. We're not troubled in our mind. We don't help the one, and then we begin to edify one another. That's encourage one another, share with one another, lift one another up, and we know that we are part of Christ, because the body, the wife, is Christ in the earth. Amen. And again, I'm going to say, not Jesus in the earth. Jesus up. Jesus is going to come back. Amen. And he's going to sit on his throne in Jerusalem, but he'll have a wife to sit by his side, and we're the wife of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Amen. So as we look back in the time, see, God did Israel the same way. He said, after 2 days. Now watch, he's Hosea here is prophesying to Israel, but I want to also notice this prophet Hosea. God told him, go marry a woman of whoredom and so on so forth. He wanted to show how that, and she left him and so forth. And then God told him, return to her and so on. And it says he's showing what about his people say. And that's what Israel's done. But now God's brought them back home. And they're only waiting now to two prophets come on the scene and begin to break that word. We're going to begin to see miracles happen in Israel concerning wars and so on. When Russia come down to try to defeat Israel, this is Ezekiel chapter 38, God's going to move in such a way that it's going to stun the world, that he's going to turn the elements loose on them, ice and hail and storms and he'll just, I said one time, he'll just take it, he'll just mop the ground up with them, you know. And when the Russia returns back home, only 1/6 of them will return back home to tell what has happened. And Joel said they'll put their hands over their mouth. Said they'll crawl out of their dens like worms, you know. When this thing gets, God get through shaking it up, they go, what in the world has happened? Well, let's look at that in the spiritual now. What in the world has happened? What's happened to the church out here? What's happened to the Pentecostal people who used to pray and seek God and fast and love God with all their heart and all those things? We don't see it no more, do we? Amen. It has died away, but God, he did not stop moving. He began to move inward, doing the greatest work that he has ever done. He's getting the people that'll look and act and talk just like he is. Hallelujah. Well, now let's put that on the other side of the fence. There's got to be a man with a spirit that will come up out of the earth, out of the bottomless pit, you know, and incarnate himself in a certain man. And he will begin to, he'll sit in the temple and act like God. That's over in the book of First Thessalonians, I believe it is. Where he will come in and he'll sit in the temple and be worshipped as God. Well, all these things we're seeing coming right in our day, our time, is taking place now, and we're at the end time. And God's moving by his Spirit. And the things that are going to happen in Israel has already begun to take place. Remember the angel that passed? What will happen? When was that? What date was that? Where it said it was 2011. What? First week in January 2011. And when the being come by, walked right by me. And I was looked around, and when I looked at him, a military-like angel, and I knew, don't mess with him, he's going to do a job. Amen. And immediately, within weeks, maybe that week or 2 or 3 weeks, that's when the uprising started in Egypt. All this is on tape and all. You can go back and hear it. Things begin to fall apart, and look what's still taking place. In Syria, many of those nations has fell apart. Now Syria is about to fall apart there. And I believe they said 70,000 to 80,000 have been killed and so on. And it's just total turmoil. Amen. Well, we're going to see some miracles take place over there. God's got a little group there, not big, but a small group, the nation of Israel. God gave every foot of that land that he promised Abraham, he gave it to Israel. And I know different one won't make two states. One state's for them, and one state for Israel, and take Israel land, cut it up, and give them a little bit. But they're saying we're going to push Israel off out in the sea. There's Iran. They want to push Israel off in the sea. And in Egypt, they got the Muslim Brotherhood. And all that. See, everything is just coming into a certain time, certain being. And then here on the church side, they got a pope now that's willing to open the doors up and let some fresh air in. Amen. And the billions of dollars of great wealth they got, wondering how they could help the poor and all that. And people are just almost falling at his feet, see. Amen. And again, let me say, I'm not saying this is the very man, but there will be one that will be the man of sin. And we're right here at the end time. See, now here Christ is here. Watch, everything is here for the end time. Amen. Everything is here for the church can leave, amen, out of this earth. And we don't know to what point we'll see the different things take place. But we know that in Israel and in the Middle East there, we're going to see certain turmoils take place and certain victories. Hallelujah. But we've already got victory. Amen. Hallelujah. We've already been baptized into the body of Christ. We're already edifying one another. Amen. And where God has placed us, and he placed us here before he did all this other. And he gave us the word, the wisdom, and the knowledge of how to use word, gave us all this word that we would know what's going on. And Paul said, you don't need that anybody tell you the days, these things, and stuff, but says, you're children of light. You're children of understanding. And you know, hallelujah, that the season's upon us, he says, when you see all these things that we see in this very day and hour that we're living in. Amen. Now, the last phase of the message is that when the trumpet sounds, then the dead's going to raise. And then the living's going to be changed. Amen. That's the third phase. So I want to read this here as he deals with Israel also. He's doing the same way. As we come into our place, Israel's going to come into hers. Amen. And as we see things happening among us, that's going to really astounding things. We'll see things over there in the natural take place. And I'll tell you, we've had some astounding things take place. Amen. I don't know if you understand it or realize it or not, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, understanding that to the deeper level of it. Amen. That the written word is the tree of knowledge. But the revelation of the Spirit that makes it live is the tree of life. And to be joined together perfectly, it produced and bring forth just exactly what God said would be. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Our eyes have seen things that the prophets and sages of old have looked forward to seeing. And here we are. It's God has laid them in our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, we see now that the end time has come upon us. We're the people in the world come upon, and I'm so glad. Amen. I'm not in any hurry to get out of here whenever time comes. If there's more to do and more time to stay, I'm gonna make the best of it. I'm gonna enjoy today. Amen. I'm gonna live today and anticipate what'll be tomorrow. But whatever be tomorrow and the future, Jesus Christ is our future. Amen. How many will say amen? Whatever, all the ins and outs of it, I don't care to understand. I don't care to understand what I'm going to be doing 3 weeks from now. Amen. But I can assure you of one thing I'm going to be doing. I'm going to have my hand in the nail-scarred hand, and whatever will be, amen, somewhere or another, it'll twist around and work out to my good. Because all things work together for good to them that love God and they that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Oh, I better get reading. I'm going to have another sermon without reading here. So let me read here in Hosea. I'm in the sixth chapter. I'll read the verse. Sixth chapter, I'll start verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. That's why he's talking in Israel here. For he has torn, in past tense, he has torn. Same thing applies here. Because of our ways and church and all the false teaching and all. And in other words, he's correct. He has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. In other words, when the purpose for it is accomplished, he will take care of it, say. Amen. And then watch what it says. Now here, after 2 days, will he revive us? Now the 2 days, a day with the Lord's 1,000 years and 1,000 years, one day after we've come to the 2,000 years, which about 1,000 years of it was dark age. Say, amen. Now he's brought us back to the end time. Amen. At the very ending of these 2 days, there's going to be a shout, a message. Amen. Then there's going to be the voice of the archangel. Sound forth, which is the first two phases of the message that God sent to get us perfected. Amen. There's one thing, the wife of the Lamb is the only one that gets the little book. She's the only one that is raptured. She's the only one that is resurrected resurrected as we're changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, say. Amen. The church, they will go on through those that died will stay dead throughout the tribulation period, which is 7 years. And then they'll all rise. That's in the book of Revelation chapter 20. When the Lord come back, then the resurrection takes place. And all these things. But what is it? But the wife of the Lamb has already resurrected and come back, because when he comes back, she comes back with him. Amen. Amen. The army followed him, clothed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. And there's only one group, and that's the wife of the Lamb. Not a denomination, not a church. And not just people that have had some type of experience with the Lord. Now, if you've ever been born again, there's no way to be lost. We know that. Amen. But then being the wife of the Lamb, that means believing a message that he sent for us in the end time. That means hearing the trumpet sound, because that's what the change is. See, irregardless of what has happened, what you've done, and what kind of religious system you've been in, or how much you believed in Brother Branham, or how much you believed in Brother Jackson, all those. And I believe of both, see. Amen. And I'll say this, I said it Sunday, I believe we couldn't have Brother Jackson without a Brother Brown. Because Brother Brown came to express the Son of Man, Christ in the earth. And I love to hear the tapes when he began to preach the Word of God. And then he'll say, when the end of the message, he'll have a prayer line or something. He'll wait and he'll talk a little bit. He said, you know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. See, an angel of the Lord told me to be with him. Nothing would stand before him, not even cancer. And then he would begin to tell them where they're from and all about it and so on. But that message, there was a time for it, and people loved it. They wanted it. They rallied to it, and they came out by the thousands. But the same man could do the same thing with the spirit that we have. The spirit is not for that, the spirit of Christ, in this day. God's taken the people into revelated word, and their heart desire revelation. Amen. Because most of the people that did that, they went their way, and where are they today? Tens of thousands of them. Nobody knows. A lot of them wound up in a denomination, a lot of them back in the world, and so on. And then here come Brother Jackson preaching the word, as Brother Brown proved and revealed the Son of Man. Here comes Brother Jackson bringing that word, feeding the word, that gospel in there. And he revealed to the wife of the Lamb what would happen to the brethren, which is Israel. And he constantly preached about Israel and so on. What was that? But when he got to Revelation chapter 10, which is the message for the wife of the Lamb, where it starts, he said, and the seventh seal, he said, the seventh seal is not open yet. Was he wrong? No, he was just saying what God didn't bring him that far. Now, the seventh seal is not open to those that don't have a revelation of it. Now, a seal is a revelation. It seals a part of God's Word away from you, see. The first seal's not even open to most folks. How many knows it? Amen, because you asked them about seals or something, they know nothing about it. But the seventh seal, when it was open, it revealed Christ here on earth, see. Amen. Even when Brother Brown opened, he said, this mighty angel come down and begin to give the signs, the rainbow about his head, and said, you know who that is. That's him. But then he says the seventh seal, just like all the others, did open. And then someone, he preached on a little bit, and says, the reason it wasn't open. See, thus and thus and thus. But the point is, it's open to you if you have a revelation. It's open to you if you're part of the wife of the Lamb. It's open to you if you've heard the trumpet sound. Amen. But back before that, then it's the people wonder about it. Some just flat says it's not open. And then in order to give the people something to look to, which is a false hope, and I hate, it grieves me to say this, but to give the people a false hope, they say, wait till those seven thunders utter their voice. Wait till those seven men come. And on, and you hear certain groups today, they'll say, when those seven men come, they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they're going to give us rapture and faith. Bring a message, give us rapture and faith. Well, if you hear the trumpet, that is rapture and faith. Amen. Because that's why Paul said, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ arise, and we'll be changed. See, that is what reveals it. See, and if you hear the trumpet, you know the seventh seal. To you, the seventh seal is open. To you, the seven men has already come and gone. See, we preach this in Kenya, hearing voices from the past, and we dealt with this how the seven thunders, each man, seven church age messengers came and brought a message throughout this 2,000-year period now. Remember, after 2,000 years, I'm going to get the rest of it. The men came, but when the seals were open, God gave Brother Brown the vision. I said we're preaching something that's relevant for us. If it's not relevant for us, then we would just as well off be out here playing ball or playing ping pong or whatever, you know. Amen. We've got to have a gospel that's relevant to us. Amen. And in 1963, Brother Brown, God directed Brother Brown by a dream to out in Arizona, out there in the mountain. And then out there, the seven angels came down. And you'll see the picture of the cloud and all as it went back up. And those seven angels came and said, return back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and opened the seven seals, revealed the seven mysteries that's been here. And he said each night, now notice this, each night one of those messengers came down and revealed what the seals were, you know. Amen. And he showed what the church age messengers were, who they were, even the names of them. So if you're looking for seven men has already come, you're looking backwards. Amen. This 2,000 years, after 2 days, see, he's going to do something, see. You're going to be justified and be all right till after 2 days. But in the third day, or in the third phase, God is going to do something special, say. Amen. And under Brother Brannan and under Brother Jackson, Christ came to earth, the mighty angel, but he had a book in his hand, and it remained there, amen, until all that was over, including the time period there called 30-minute silence in heaven, where God was bringing out denomination and teaching, amen. But then he said, there was a voice, the voice of the Lord God spoke again from heaven. Amen. The same voice that spoke and told John to seal up the book and to seal up what the seven angels said, and to most folks they're still sealed, at least part of them. Amen. But the same voice told John there, type of the wife of the Lamb this hour, says, go take the little book out of the hand of the angel. That each individual begin to get revelation. Now, you can go to him directly because he's here. We're past the until of Ephesians 4:13, where it talks about how the ministry is going to be. And Hebrews 13th chapter, 3 places, it says, these that rule over you. And so on like that. Obey them through, and you'll have some ruling over you. But said, until we reach the fullness of the statue of the man Christ Jesus, meaning we express in the earth exactly the Lord Jesus Christ and not any type of religious system. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And then in that each member, man or woman, we get a letter oftentimes, about 3 different times, believe that. This man, can a woman pray in church? Or can a woman do this? Or can a woman do that? Amen. Oh, I'm sure she can, see? Amen. She can receive revelation. And she can go to God, and God can speak to her. Christ can manifest himself through her, and she can stand up. Just like in Bible days, Philip's daughter, thus saith the Holy Spirit. And it be exactly right. And so some of those that followed Brother Brown's message that hadn't come into this third phase, the third day, they still can a woman testify. In a certain meeting type in Paul's day, in the Jewish realm, he dealt, remember when Paul preached, he went to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Every city he went into, he preached to Jew and Gentile. Amen. The Jewish church, they had certain customs. And Paul, he was a Jew himself, but God gave him revelation. But mainly his revelation, the prophetic part, came when he was put in prison. Amen. The letters, like the book of Ephesians, some of those, when he were in prison, he wrote, and he told us what this end time church would be, what the bride of Christ was. Amen. And he said his revelation was, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. Whether Jews going, how God's going to deal with the Jews, we that's up to God. But if some accept this message and come into it, a Jew will be a bride member just like you are part of the wife. Amen. So sometimes some want to say, can anybody of a Jewish believer, what will they be? If they hear the trumpet sound, if they are baptized into the body of Christ, which is a message, there will be no middle wall of partition in the body, and there shouldn't be between any members. Say. How many knows it? Some might try to build a wall up. I'm talking about those that hear the message. I'm not talking about churchianity or Christianity. Amen. And when I'm saying that, I'm saying here that everybody's born again. They'll be saved. They'll have eternal life, see. Amen. But that don't mean everybody's going to be in the wife. There's a special group that's in the wife. Amen. So we see what we got this Pope, he's expressing. His way of doing things and talking now, the way they're projecting, and time will only tell. And I'm not going to make prediction without the God giving me knowledge on it in the sense of prophetic. Time will only tell what all he will do, but I predict there's a lot of changes coming, and they're going to be changes that they're going to be stunned. They've already stunned that the fact that he wore a little wooden cross, he don't wear the red slippers, and the thing they put on his shoulder, he only left it there for a bit, and he took it off, and he sat down and eat with the folks that the normal people. Amen. So we see all those things, the change. But look what a few years before that, God's already got the jumps on him. Amen. Here is the real body of Christ, and anything follows will be impersonation. See? Can you say amen? Now look on this third phase here. After 2 days, will he revive us? Now watch. In. Everybody say in. In. The third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. See? In the third phase, see? In the third phase. After 2,000 years, these phases start. And then verse 3 says, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain. Amen. How many see that? The rain. Amen. I believe, Bob, you got the thoughts last Sunday morning on the rain. How we sometimes we'll have people come in our church and they'll just sit there and they will absolutely almost explode with joy. And some will say the greatest thing I've ever seen, and on it goes, you know. And later on, they'll go on their own way and give them a few weeks, a few months. A lot of them, they just kind of, they get out from under the rain, they get dried off, and they kind of forget about it, see? Amen. But his going forth, now as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain under the earth. Now, I want to read this, what I've been talking to you about on the Ephesians 4. I want to get a few scriptures here. And I want to show you, we come to a place after a certain time. Well, I tell you, let's go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to show you the three phases of the coming. And it's only in the trumpet stage. Paul made that clear in the Corinthians, 15th chapter of Corinthians. In the trumpet stage, death will be done away with. Paul quoted that scripture, old death, where his thing. He got that from Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verse 8, I believe. And it says there death, and then one place says, he is the enemy, he's your terror. He's your terror, death. In other words, death. He's going to destroy you, you know. Amen. Christ destroys death. Now, death has to do with the serpent. And we'll get a little more on this later on. Probably not denied altogether. But I want you to notice, in the garden, when the serpent came to Eve, the devil used the serpent. God done told him, don't eat of this tree. Because within this tree alone, without the life, without the revelation, it produced death. And Paul vindicated the same in 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verses 6. It says, the letter of the word alone killeth. If you just take the letter of the word and try to operate strictly by your mind, what you think's the best to do, what your best program and all, said the letter of the word will kill you. Amen. It'll cause you to act religious, cause you to do things, but there's death in the pot, see. Amen. But he said this, there's death in the pot, but he said, but the Spirit giveth life. The revelation of it giveth life. You got to have the written word. Amen. That's what the serpent crawled right out of, because when he came to Eve, he said, yea, has God said. Yea, has God said. you shall surely die. But said, let me explain that to you, what he meant by it. He said, you're not going to die, but what you'll be much wiser than what you are. See, your eyes going to be open. You'll understand the things of life. You'll just be an understanding. You'll be a better understanding person if you'll eat it. See, the serpent and death. Amen. So, as the serpent did that, they ate the tree of the tree of knowledge without waiting for revelation. Again, which would have been a family raised that would have eternal life, because they'd been operating by the revelation of God's word. And there's a family now that's born that has eternal life. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, referring to being born again, the first birth, it's already, you can't get back to it. But it says, you must be born again by the Spirit. See, they were born by the tree of knowledge, but not by the Spirit. Amen. Every living, breathing human being, amen, that's be part of this glorified Christ, amen. And even those glorified saints that's resurrected to live in the millennia, that's not the bride, amen, they will have to be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, to show you those serpent and death, Paul, he defied it one time. See, in the book of Acts, 28th chapter, where Paul was wrecked in that shipwreck. How many remember the story? The ship was bursting. He went up on the island, and that would be Acts 28th chapter, about the verse 3 through 6 there. You read that. Where a serpent bit Paul. Now, in those islands, there are some serpents, I was seeing a thing on them. Some of them, when they bite, it's something that paralyzes the nervous system, stops the heart, and it only a few seconds they expected to live. And normally, if someone had even the antidote for them, they would have to have the needle ready to put it in if they survived the gas, because they die immediately. And it's a certain, and we got some here in the, even in America, that's quite poisonous. Now, it's not the rattler or something. More people die from copperheads. I believe over in Georgia there, they had the little thing on it. It came out in the paper just last week. I believe the record of about 300 people that got bit with copperheads that died. And you got to get somewhere quick if one of those bites you. If it gets a good bite and all. But in rattlesnakes, there's only a record of 3 people that have died from rattlesnake. But there's snakes in certain areas of the world that they are so poisonous. And I don't know the name of all of them. I had a book, or someone's showing me a book of the different serpents and so forth. And some of them are so poisonous that one of them there, within seconds, it stops the heart, and it paralyzes it in your nerve system. It just so it hit when once it hit you, you're finished. See, and that death and the serpent, you associate them together all the way back there in Genesis. That's why most of us are afraid of any type of snake. See. Because the serpent became the serpent wasn't a crawling reptile. He was like a man. But once the curse was put on him, we don't know which brand that was. But once the serpent put on, there's a fear, you know, a fear of serpents. And it has come, and they are very dangerous. So don't use a serpent for your pet, you know, unless you really... Well, I just say don't be on the safe side and don't do it, you know. But I know they people got these big ones crawl around the house, and I know down in Florida they imported these big pythons or something. I believe the name is that. Well, they get tired of them. They take them out in the swamp, and now there's so many out there they're paying people to get out and try to kill them. They're multiplying so fast, let's see. Amen, but that's not the poisonous like I'm talking. But Paul was bit by a serpent, and it must have been a small one. Some of those things are very small, and yet they're very poisonous, because he was picking up wood, sticks, to build a fire. And while he was picking up sticks, he just put the serpent in with it. And it lit on, it caught on his hand. Well, the barbarians, the Bible says, on the island, and we'd call heathen again, they beheld what happened, and they said, this man is surely a murderer, and he has escaped the sea, but the God of vengeance hadn't suffered him to live. See, they just done counted him dead. Because they knew that serpent, they knew when you get hit, they knew there was no survival. If it bit you, you were dead. That was their conclusion. He has escaped the sea, but the God of vengeance hadn't suffered him to live. And when they expected him to fall over, the Bible says, immediately. He should have fell over before he left the fire there. But what did the Bible say he did? How many know? Shook it off and felt no harm, and went ahead building the fire. I tell you, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? See, amen, we've got something now with Christ. In this message, the trumpet message as it sounds, it finishes up, it translates the living, it raised the dead, those that have died, and translate the living, because the Bible says all that are in the grave, all those that are his, that hear this, everyone that hear the voice of God somewhere in their part. Paul said everybody be resurrected in their own order. But the wife of the Lamb, she hears a trumpet. And I don't think we'll get that tonight, because we're not going to get to it. But it says there that the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Now the question is, what is the trumpet of God? And is it sounding? See, that's what you've got to ask yourself. Amen. And the trump is the third phase of the message that came forth as the mighty angel Christ came to earth. See? Amen. You see what it is now? Amen. We're living in a tremendous time. A greater time than our mentality can fathom. Amen. It has to take a spiritual revelation what's going on. Amen. I know that when Brother Brown would preach, they didn't see an angel standing there. But he said, you know what I'm waiting for? So he's here now. Said, sister, I see you had an accident when you were small. And this happened to you, and that happened to you. And because of that, thus happened to you. But thus says the Lord, you know. Amen. On this, I listen to them tapes sometimes at night. And I put them on and hear the prophet of God call them out and tell them. And on one, I like what he said there. It was on perseverance. And I think I mentioned this last week, so bear with me. He says, somebody said he's guessing, because he was telling this lady what's wrong. He says, now you have a daughter-in-law, if I remember right, you can hear her. He said, and she has a little girl that's got a hole in her heart or something of this nature, you know. And began to tell all about her and say, oh, that gentleman sitting right over there is your husband. He has prostrate trouble. And she liked to paint it. She's just screaming and hollering. He said, am I guessing? But he had to wait till he got there. I'll tell you, there's spiritual powers. We have a book. And it would be good for you to go back maybe and read over it again. And its title of it is spiritual powers, God's behind the scenes, spiritual powers to back up. That's what it is, see. That's what's in our midst. Amen. That's what from time to time, that spiritual powers, and we can't see it with our natural eyes many times. Only way you could, God just give you a little flash and let you see. Just like Brother Brown, he went to meet the angel, went praying, asked God what about his strange life. There was a little light over in the corner. Out stepped a man, weighing about 250-pound olive-complected man, and said, "I'm sent from the presence of the Lord." If you'll read in the book of Luke, that was a man came to Zacharias first and said, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God," say. "And I've come to tell you thus and thus," and Elizabeth was old and too old to have children, see. John's mother and father, they were too old to conceive and bring forth children, see. Just like it was with Abraham and Sarah. But an angel came to Abraham and Sarah, and it made the difference. And I'll tell you, a mighty angel come down from heaven, it makes a difference. Amen. If you'll read that book that we brought, there's three. There was three prehistorical angels in Christ. There was one. Lucifer was the head of the whole thing. Now he's trying to express himself now, see. Amen. Angel of light. Angel of light. The Bible, Paul said he has transformed himself into an angel of light. And said, don't be surprised if his minister does the same. See. Amen. But then there was Gabriel. He's the messenger bringer, and he can fight too. But Gabriel don't seem to be able to win of actually fighting battle, because that's not his job. He's the messenger angel. If you'll read in Daniel, the ninth chapter, when Daniel was praying, "Lord, what's going to be? What's all this about?" So he sent Gabriel. And Daniel calls him the man Gabriel. He was seen in the form of a man sometime. And while he was trying to get here, all the powers of hell came against him. And he seemed to not be able to burst through those powers. Amen. But then he got on his cell phone and he rang up Michael. And he said, but Michael came and helped me. And the Bible don't say cell phone. I'm just saying that to make a point. But Michael came and helped him, and they cleared the way. And he went on, brought the message and told Daniel. But Daniel called him the man Gabriel that stood before me. The man Gabriel. See, two places. One place he just flat said the man Gabriel. And the other place, and Gabriel had the appearance of a man, see. So he came to Mary, evidently. He came the same way, talked to her, and then he came to told about the birth of Jesus and to Zacharias and so on. Well, see, that was Michael and Gabriel. They worked with Lucifer. And Lucifer was a head angel, but then he got exalted. And, of course, that's when he failed. And he became the devil. He was cast out. He became the devil. But he knew all the secrets. He knew many secrets of the approach to God. And he knew how to approach the throne of God. And he knew the way of God. That's why the serpent could tell Eve what would be and what wouldn't be and so on. Because he was over in the prehistorical age anyway with the animal. But the point being is that when Christ come back, he destroys his power. He trampled over all powers and principalities and make a show of them openly when he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. On the third day, not to show he triumphed over Satan, he went there and got the key. Amen. He ripped the key off the side of Satan. And he brought out all those in the Old Testament that loved God and believed God. And Matthew 27 says, the graves were open, many of the graves were open, and many of the saints rose and went into the city and were seen of many, not just one. Hallelujah. Something happened in hell. There was a rapture. There was a resurrection, and there was a rapture. Satan was defeated because Christ has come, and there was a resurrection and a rapture. And here he comes again. Amen. There's going to be another resurrection and another rapture. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said it will be when the trumpet began to sound. Amen. I was going to read this. Well, how much my time's going? Oh my! I guess I'll stop here. I don't know. Amen. But I was going to read this over here in the about these three. Let's get these three stages here to get the clarify this. This is in the Thessalonians. It's not a strange scripture, not an unknown one, but just three stages of it. But it's the third stage that when all the this began to do, that's when the trumpets. It was the third day with Israel after the 2,000 years. See, amen. Then there would be deliverance. Then in the third day, in that third day with Israel taking plumb on, cleaning out in the millennium and so forth. But in Thessalonians, I know we got groups today. And to listen to them, you would think it'd be comical. If it weren't so sad, it would be funny. They're debating and separating because they're saying, when did the third day start? Before the millennium? Some says before. Some says after, or before the tribulation rather. And they debate on that and separate and fuss about it. Amen. If they knew it wouldn't be worth a hill of beans to them if they're going to be in the rapture, because they ain't going to be here when God takes them, Israel into her deliverance. Amen. Because we'll be changed in a moment, caught out of here, see. Amen. But the wife came all the way through, see. So in that third day, yes, for her, we've come to the 2,000 years already started, see. Amen. But that's not the main thing here. It's the main thing I want to get is the third phase. See, why God does things in three, that's for God to know. Why use three angels? There's only three named angels in the Bible. Amen. The first and the greatest in power and in glory and enlightenment. His name was Lucifer, which means day star, son of the morning. But he failed and become the devil, the serpent, Satan. But that was Michael and Gabriel. They're still around. They're still working. They the one came told about the birth of Jesus. And if you'll read the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll find when Israel get in trouble, which see right now, I noticed they're talking about Israel can't tack Iran along because they're going to build a nuclear bomb and they're going to obliterate Israel. That's what they said, melt them away and so on. And you ask the same, well, Israel can't do it alone. I mean, they better try to give in a little here and there. They better try to negotiate something. Because they ain't got what it takes to do it. Well, they don't have to have. I'm here to tell them they don't have to have. Because Revelation chapter 12, you read it. There is one going to stand up, and he's been fighting for. He's a fighter. He's God's warring angel to knock back everything. That's the reason Gabriel had to call on him time to time. And Gabriel said in the 10th chapter of Daniel, verse 31 said, there ain't nobody standing with me like Michael. Because they were friends from way back, see. Way back before this age. You know, and so when Gabriel get in trouble, he just called on with Michael. But see, the thing is, in 2011, now don't miss this. You're living in time when God's moving, see. There went this warring angel dressed like a military going right for the Middle East. And a voice spoke from within me, say, now, that is to be will now be. And all things begin to break forth there. Then all things begin to break forth for us. Amen. The revelation of the Word of God's coming one on another. Amen. Week from week. God is deliverance, sending deliverance. Hallelujah. And we are the ones do it. I mean, the deliverance not going to be just for healing. He can do that and do all these other things. I think he's going to deliver us from these bodies of corruption, it said. Paul said, in this body we groan and travail in pain. waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, say. Amen. He said it would happen when the trumpet sounded. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verse 51 through 57. It reads about it. Besides the, but here's, I want to read here, and I'm going to close this out. I'm not going to have time to get through it. But I want, this is test, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you ain't got there yet, just don't worry about it. But I would not have you to be ignorant. That's why we're preaching. That's why he's sending this. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God send with them. That's the mighty angel coming back. Amen. Bring in those theotomy, spiritual body. That's why Paul could write, we've come to the Spirit, just men made perfect. We've come to an innumerable host of angels. We've come to Jesus. That's where we come to when we come into the Spirit of God, say. Amen. It's all in the spiritual realm. And then he says here, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now watch. This has never been written before, never been spoke before this time, as far as I know. That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which have died or is asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, now watch, with a shout, one day, one phase, and with a voice of the archangel. That's the second phase of the ministry. Amen. We've heard, if you've heard Brother Jackson's message, you've heard the voice of the archangel. Amen. As it relates to the wife of the Lamb. Amen. It sounds out clear and precise. Like Brother Gentry said, him and a friend walking down the road, said his friend said, they believed in Brother Jack, said to him, said, why, the friend asked Brother Gary, why do Brother Jackson always talk about Israel? Why does each message he preaches, he gets on and talk about Israel, tell what's going to happen to Israel? He couldn't do nothing else but that. Amen. Because God ordained to him for him to open that, reveal the second part of that fifth seal which dealt with Israel. Amen. Then after this, that gives us that knowledge, say. But not only the knowledge, we got the Spirit of God. But then there's another phase of it to take place. Amen. Then watch what it says. Voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now notice, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another these words. Now I was going to stop, but I won't read this, and then we're stopping. Because may not, I haven't got Ephesians 4 there. I quoted it though, so we'll leave that one go. Amen. But let's get this in book of 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, just to close. Now see, somebody say, could you help me a little more on our translation? I'd like to understand. I'd like to know more about it. What about, how do we get translating faith? Amen. How do we get translating faith? Well, God, Paul told the churches, your faith grows exceedingly. See, amen. You eat the right food and you don't have to worry about the being translated. It will translate you. All you got to do is be in it, say. Amen. Amen. So here's what he says here in the 1 Corinthians. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. And I'll just pick up verse 51 here. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And when the change take place, he said it will be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Just like batting your eye, there you are, see. Amen. In a moment, twinkling of an eye. Watch, when will it be, Paul? Can you answer that question for me, please? He says, at the last trump. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on. Then it goes on down what we just quoted there about death. Where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory now? The trumpet sound now, death, where's your sting? Now, grave, where's your victory? Amen. Do like Paul. Paul had faith because he had a message. When he was on that ship, and then even in that temple, when he was on that ship, they were 14 days, didn't eat or anything. Because Paul came up and encouraged them to take food. Because they didn't see the storm or didn't see the sun or the stars for 14 days. Just a big storm out there rocking that old ship. Amen. I've been out, but not that long. Amen. But Paul was down there. And he was down just in the bottom of the ship praying. And all of a sudden, here it came. There stood an angel. Said, Paul, go up and tell them that this ship's going to be lost. Because they didn't obey Paul. Paul told them not to leave yet. There was a storm. Don't cut loose. Don't sail. But they says they paid no attention to him. A lot of people get in trouble because they don't pay attention, see? And so he said the ship's going to be bursted, but not a soul's going to be lost. See? Because the angel of the Lord told him, see? Amen. And they got to shore, and that's when the serpent bit him and all that. Amen. That was a message. That was a word. Amen. So Paul said, and I have to close, that they that hear the trumpet sound, he said the dead's going to get up out of the ground. Now, in the third phase, the first 2,000 years, there was engagement. It was lost, went almost out of existence in the dark age, but it was restored back under the prophet, Brother Brown and Brother Jackson, see. And even more added. Amen. Because of the Israel's place. God wanted us to know that for this last day. Amen. But he said, now, when the third part of that happened, then he's going to restore us. Then we'll be restored. And then it'll be like rain on us, and we'll just have that. Then he said here on the third, when the trumpet sounds. What do we do to get out here? See if you can hear the trumpet sound. If you do, then you're more than halfway there, see. It's a matter of time and so on. But if you hear the trumpet sound, you're in what's going to be translated. Amen. It's a message that the trumpet sound, amen, it will raise the dead and it will translate the living. Amen. And you'll become a new creature. Then we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Because it's a message that gives a fine linen clean white. God bless you today. I'm going to have to stop this off because I'm getting too long here. But it's been such a pleasure to talk to you tonight. Amen. I just trust and pray that something's been said that will help you, give you comfort, give you peace, let you know. Amen. There is no secret formula to being translated. There's no certain thing, seven men coming and seven thunders, if you hear, you'll get translated. No, I'm sorry to say, that's nonsense. Amen. Even though it's being taught a lot, there's no seven thunders going to come, that when you hear the seven thunders, you're going to get raptured and face and start sailing out of here. No, Paul says it's a message. It's a trumpet sound. Just hear it. You'll be all right. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now, God. Just appreciate you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we had here, Lord, to minister the Word of God. And I just pray that you'll take it and use it for your glory. Anoint each one that hear it, Lord. And may they receive. And may they even receive more from you than just the hearing this. Lord, as the Holy Spirit move upon, quicken other scriptures that we don't even read, and even give the ones that we did read a greater light, that you may bless them and lift them up and cause them to sit together in heavenly places. Lord, we pray that you'll grant it in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen and amen. All right, God bless you tonight.